Welcome to Extraordinary Women Radio. I am your host, Cami Gellner. Women are being called to lead with voice, vitality, and vigor. Each week, join me for wisdom-filled interviews with extraordinary women living out loud and making a difference in our world. Their stories will uplift, inspire, and spark your own purpose-driven journey. Hello, my extraordinary women friends. How the heck did we land in October already? I hope you're enjoying fall time. This past weekend, we took a beautiful drive up to Breckenridge, Colorado, where turning leaves were in prime season. It's one of the most beautiful times of year in our state. And we drove up there for the TEDx Breckenridge event, at which my client Sherry Hess was on the TEDx stage. Oh my God. It was one of my biggest thrills to see my client follow her dream and land on the TEDx stage. I interviewed Sherry earlier this summer, and her message is a big idea worth sharing. You need to listen to that podcast episode. So tune back over to it and listen to it. I promise to also share the video from her TEDx when it's live on my Extraordinary Women Connect group on Facebook. So make sure you're over there with us. I literally got teary-eyed as she took to the stage because I remember when the seeds of that idea were planted. And yeah, seeds of an idea being planted are so perfect for her talk because it's about flavor and it's about flavors that come from the earth. So it was so rewarding to see her on the TEDx stage. It just was really a highlight of this year for me. With the turning of the Colorado leaves, I too am turning toward the next season. And for me, this time of year is all about Extraordinary Women Ignite Conference. It's our 7th annual conference. And I think you need to be there. We are being called, my friends, to step up and lead in new ways, to create the change our world is calling for. Join us at Ignite and you will spark connections and you're going to fire up the inspiration as we dance through this crazy portal that we've been going through into a brand new world, raising up our voices and our visibility as women who are being called to lead during this extraordinary time. I believe a wildly successful business starts with the fire within, and it's driven by your inner vitality and your life force, and it's guided by your inner wisdom. Over the course of these three powerful days, you are going to spark the fire within, and you're going to raise up soulful approaches aligned with mindful strategies to grow your business in 2022. So join us November 11th. Through 13th in Golden, Colorado. We have an extraordinary room building of extraordinary women because the time is now. And speaking of an extraordinary woman leading with soul aligned approaches to marketing and business, today's guest is Nikki Nash. Nikki is a Hay House author, an international speaker, and marketing mentor for women entrepreneurs. Her book, Market Your Genius, provides entrepreneurs with the strategies and skills they need to get more dream clients in their business. As host of the Market Your Genius podcast and founder of the Genius Profit Lab, Nikki helps women build a profitable business from their experiences and expertise. Known for empowering women to quit making excuses and start going after their dreams, Nikki uses her extensive business and personal development background to help women create a business and a life that they are madly in love with. Yes, she speaks my love language, and I love this conversation where we jammed about building businesses with soul. Let's meet Nikki Nash. Welcome to Extraordinary Women Radio, Nikki. It is so good to have you here today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, you and I have been crossing pathways from just different places. I think interview connections from PodMatch, from like just different places, or PodMax, I think is what it was called. All these different places you and I just kept showing up. And I've been wanting to get to know you. I think I even have seen you on Clubhouse at one time. I was like, oh my God, there's Nikki again. And so I'm really super excited to have this conversation. And as I was looking over all of the good things that you've done, what I'm loving is how we're so aligned in the language we use. We're former marketing heads, and we have found this way to bring our work into the world in a different way and help people really market in a different way. So this is going to be a lot of fun to explore this and have this conversation with you, because I know my audience is going to fall in love with you. So welcome.
Thank you again.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's just start with your story. We both came out of the corporate world. We were both heads of marketing. And so tell us a little bit about your journey that found into the world of actually doing a much more soulful approach to marketing that you do today.
Yeah. Well, I fell into marketing, as I guess a lot of people do. I think folks sure. either intentionally went into marketing or they completely fell into it. And I wanted to be a journalist. I was an English major. Because journalism wasn't a major at my school, but I focused on all journalism classes and internships and wanted to go to grad school for journalism. And I remember calling Berkeley and asking what it would take essentially to get into their grad school. And one of the things the woman who I spoke with suggested that I do is attend this NYU Summer Publishing Institute. It's a summer publishing program. Because you connect and meet a number of people in the industry. You meet editors, you meet all sorts of folks that would hopefully, you know, build that relationship, get hired because they suggested you work first. And so she recommended a couple of programs, but I'm from New Jersey and New York's, you know, river away, essentially. Right. So I did NYU's program and I met a ton of marketing people, and they felt so fun because you met not only the editorial and like journalist side of the business, but also the people in sales and marketing. And I loved the marketing people. And next thing I knew, I was
marketing people are the funnest.
Yeah, they were so much fun. And it's like, next thing you knew, I was at InStyle magazine in the marketing department. I'm like, oh, okay, well, that's where I'm going. And that led to a role at Travel and Leisure magazine, which led to me going into advertising. And then while I was working at an ad agency, I said, you know, I really want to be more in charge of the strategy mm-hmm. of like the business decisions, because I'm getting, you know, a strategy for advertising, but I really wanted to play a
bigger
role. You
wanted bigger, right?
Bigger, mm-hmm. yep. And so I talked to a lot of my clients. I was on the Kraft Foods account, and they all recommended, you know, if you want to get into essentially what we call client side, you should go back to school and get your MBA because it's an easier pathway. Otherwise, you have to stay agency side for a while and then make the switch. So I went back to school, got my MBA, interned at Coca-Cola. I don't drink soda. so that was interesting. And I ended up taking a full-time position at Intel because my entire background to that point had been in what we would call traditional marketing.
And yeah. And all of a sudden you're in tech.
Yeah. And now it was an opportunity for me to be in tech and then also to be in charge of digital marketing and online marketing for North America. So I was like, well, that seems cool. And so I was hired to do that. And it was while I was in that role and I was, you know, planning on going up the corporate ladder. My vision was I'm going to be CMO of a company.
Yep.
And I was in an executive like group coaching program for like people that were rising up the company. I was doing my job and then doing a sabbatical coverage for somebody else in another side of the business so that I could meet people and understand that side of the business. And then I was doing side projects. Like I was all in on corporate. And my aunt was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. Mm. And it's something that we realized was genetic because that's how my grandmother passed away, my mom and my aunt's mother. And I just remember when I found out that my aunt was diagnosed, I started really thinking about my life. And then we found out that my mom tested positive for the gene. And I was like, I don't want to spend my life in a cubicle. And I was living in Portland, Oregon. My entire family was in New Jersey at this time. And I decided that I was going to quit my job and start my own business. And I gave, I decided I was going to do that, but I didn't say, you know, I'm going to do it tomorrow. At that time, I said, I'm going to give myself, you know, about 6 months. And then I ended up giving the company, I think about 3 months notice because they kept trying to sign me up for things like, oh, you need to go represent us at this event or do this other thing. And in my mind, I knew I wasn't going to be there anymore.
Right.
And I'm like, I need to tell you that I'm planning on leaving. So I gave them, I think, like 2 or 3 months notice. And I quit to start my own business. Mm-hmm. And
so you knew when you left, you were going to, because that I didn't know. Yeah. I didn't know that I was going to go start my own business, but you had this clear vision. I'm going to go do this.
I had the clear vision, but the funny thing is that I still went on a detour. So I had that clear vision. Mm-hmm. But I freaked out. I was like, I am making six figures since I was 26 years old. I was like on a corporate path. And then basically what felt like overnight, I decided I was going to be an entrepreneur, and I'm like, I don't know how to do this. And so I freaked out and decided I should take a job at a tech startup because then I could learn how to do this thing called entrepreneurship. Right. Mm-hmm. And so it was all a mindset thing and what seemed possible for me at the time.
Sure.
So I took a head of marketing job at a tech startup. Did that for a year and a half and was like, what am I doing? I want to start my own business. And so I quit that and started my own business for real. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. I love it. So, and it is a head game, right? It's like when we're going down that journey of making big shifts like that, our head can get in the way of letting us. And so that, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, I know how to do this. I'm going to jump into the tech startup. But it gave you a whole new, you know, I always say trust. Exactly. We take the right steps, and that, you know, that job showed up for you. It gave you the courage to do the next phase. And you probably took something from that was useful later on. Is that true?
Absolutely. And I think one of the biggest things that I realized is when you work, at least for me, especially like when you're working in corporate or at some of the bigger companies, you have a large team. So you're not in charge of necessarily doing everything literally, totally. Right? So right. I had an ad agent, like I had an agency that was running ads. I had an agency that was doing other stuff. And so I was really more of a visionary.
Mm-hmm. I totally get it. Like,
yeah. Resources behind me.
Versus rolling up your sleeves and doing all of the right. pieces.
And I remember when I started my business, I would call up, I'm grateful for the relationships I built and the friends I had. And I would call friends that worked at my ad agency when I worked and was their client. And I'm like, hey, how the heck did you run a Facebook ad? Like, how did you do this thing? Like, yeah. How did these things get done? What the heck is like a CRM system? You know, there were so many things where I got conceptually and I knew what they were. And if somebody asked me, I could tell them, but I'm like, what's the right CRM system for me? Like, how do I generate leads a certain way? And it was such an interesting shift because, you know, so many people go, well, your background was in marketing. I'm like, yeah, but I didn't live in the weeds. Right. And so even if I understood and came up with strategies for how to do things, I didn't like basics, not basic. It feels basic now, but I'm sure there are people who are like, I still don't know how to do that. Or I've been there where I'm going, okay, if I send somebody to a page, how do I get them on my email list? And then how do I make that thing that I promised them actually get to them? Right. Yeah. And I was like, I get conceptually how this works. I don't know tactically how to do it. Yeah. So I called people left and right.
That's awesome. You were able to really lean into it. I think the one that was always my big one was like, I don't have IT support anymore. Where's my IT department, right? And I think that's one, you know, I do work with a lot of women coming out of the corporate world. And one of the misconceptions is like, you know, I actually had this myself when I left the corporate world was, well, I know how to do this stuff. I know how to create strategy. I know how to create marketing. And it is very different when it comes to being an entrepreneur, even beyond all the how-tos and having the support team and everything. Actually, marketing for the smaller entrepreneur is very different than marketing in a big corporation or even a startup tech company.
Absolutely. And the business goals are different. The marketing goals are different. Yeah. And so even though I, on one end, felt a little bit that working and heading up marketing at the tech startup was a detour from my actual goal. Mm-hmm. It allowed me the space to figure out all this stuff while getting paid from someone.
Yeah.
To do it for them.
Yeah.
Because we were a small, lean team that had to do things like generate leads and all this other stuff. And so I was able to figure it out for them, but also really for myself, which was nice, nice. And helpful.
Nice. Nice. So how is marketing different now for you as an entrepreneur, as just marketing your own business? What have you learned that you do today that's very, very different than from what you used to do from the corporate world?
Yeah. So in corporate, especially for some of my businesses, the business model is very different. So for example, for Intel, they're essentially an ingredient brand. Like mm-hmm. they're the chip inside your laptop.
Right.
So our bigger strategy was to, and I was on the consumer marketing team. So for us, it was to get people like you and me to buy. Well, it was more, we wanted you to get excited about what's possible with your devices so that you would buy a new one or buy more, so that therefore the manufacturers would need to buy more chips from us.
Right.
So like the Dells and the HPs and the Apples and the, I don't know why, like IBM, or like that was more a small business, but all the different manufacturers would go, wow, we need more Intel chips because so many people are buying computers.
Yeah.
And so, it's that
Intel Inside, isn't that the tagline?
It was one of their big programs and campaigns for a while. Yeah. And so for me, when you're at a big company, the marketing department are doing some things from a education standpoint or an awareness standpoint, but I didn't have to track direct sales. I didn't, that was not our metric for success because it was through so many different levels.
Right.
And so that's one thing. The other thing that's important is that oftentimes in corporate for us, there is this almost mentality of what have you done for me lately? Mm-hmm. So it was, how can we show that our department is doing really cool, either innovative things or things that get featured in the press or that get buzz or things that you can talk about mm-hmm. that will make you or your team look amazing. Right.
Right.
And that, like, PR is great, but if I'm doing PR and it's not driving my business, then it doesn't really help me as a small business. Like, I don't have the freedom to just do things to ultimately look cool. You know, ooh, we got our following to 5 million people. Okay, great. But that's just because
it's got to turn to dollars on the backside. And I will say that in my old corporate days, I was being held to a standard of, okay, track the revenue associated with this and really watch the ROI. So we were doing that, but there was also space for the other side of it, right? And I think that's what you're talking about. So tell us a little bit about your business now. How do you drive your, tell us first of all, what your business is so everybody knows, and then tell us how you build your business now.
Yeah. So coming out of working in tech startup land, and my side hustle while I was working in the tech startup was teaching digital marketing to entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. It was a side hustle that I didn't even realize one was a side hustle because it was before I even knew the term, and two, that it would lead into a business, right?
This
was so long ago. And it was honestly by accident. I found this company called General Assembly because Intel was doing something cool with the founders. And I knew that I liked teaching because I discovered that internally at Intel, because I would teach I'd created my own lunch and learn series and I would teach mm-hmm. digital marketing. And I ended up getting and attracting entrepreneurs and teaching them marketing.
Yeah.
And so when I left my startup job, I had all of these entrepreneur friends. And then I also was in a lot of startup communities and I had a lot of people go, Nikki, we need to get more leads. Nikki, we need more customers. Nikki, we need to, you know, be positioned as the expert or the leader in the industry or mm-hmm. things along those lines. How the heck do we do that? Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, And I would just talk to people and they're like, this is so brilliant. How do you know this? I'm like, I don't know. I've just been doing it forever. And I learn right. and I read and I geek out on it and I try it on myself. And so that evolved into having a business where I work with entrepreneurs specifically to help them get more leads, get more clients, and position themselves as the go-to industry expert.
I love it.
And so we have a couple of ways in which we do that, whether it's through online education or it's through one-on-one work or you know, group communities. But that's the focus of the business. Because we are marketing.
I love how you very organically shifted there because people kept saying, I need this. How do I do this? And you listen and you responded.
Yeah. And I was teaching these courses for another company and I realized, wait a minute, I'm teaching these courses for somebody else. Then the people who attend the courses are asking me how they can work with me and hiring me. And I'm like, maybe there's something here. Maybe this is a real focus for my business. And so I had been doing that as an unintentional side hustle. I really just did it because, I don't know, I liked teaching and I wanted to give it a try. And it was something that I did when I initially quit my job before I found the startup job was I would just teach. Yeah.
So the teaching is core for you. Is that that's a good gift of yours?
Yes, it is. And it's the way, you know, when I wrote my book and when I teach workshops, it's very much structured in a way where it's designed for people to skill up and gain that knowledge, but then also be able to implement. Yeah. And so I was speaking with a friend earlier today and she's like, your book is like a marketing Bible. I'm like, it's literally like if people just picked it up and they did the stuff in it, they would see results. And that's what those were the words that came out of my friend's mouth. And I'm like, yes,
it's like,
but I wrote it because I'm like, because I've spent at that point, maybe almost a decade teaching entrepreneurs. And so I'm like, that's how I wrote it. That's how I create. So it's a huge thing for me. It might be part gift. It might be part, you know, developed skill. But it's definitely,
It's probably, it's definitely a combination of both. I would definitely say that. So I love that we use the language soul. We both use the language visibility. What does building a soul aligned marketing plan mean to you?
Yeah. You know, I speak to so many magical, wonderful entrepreneurs who tell me they hate marketing or they're frustrated with marketing or they're doing all these things and it's not getting the results that they want. Mm. And I'm like, do you even like doing half the things that you're doing? Right.
Right.
And I think, you know, for me, if you are a solopreneur or an entrepreneur with a smaller, medium-sized team and you're out there speaking on behalf of the company or representing the company. In an ideal world, your marketing plan should align with what brings you joy.
Totally.
Because you're going to be out there doing it. And so if you're implementing a strategy that stresses you out, pisses you off, like frustrates the heck out of you.
You're bringing all that energy to the table.
All that energy. That's literally the energy you're putting out into the world. I'm like, no, like don't do that. And so for me, a soul aligned marketing plan means you take the high level fundamentals of marketing, right? You have to know who you're targeting and who's going to buy your product, what problem you're solving for them, where the heck they're hanging out and where you can show up and, you know, best, all those things, how you're going to get there.
Right.
It's metaphorically, all of that, but you get to choose how that looks specifically for your business. And it should be soul aligned. It should light you up. It should feel like, oh my goodness, I am 100% in alignment with this marketing plan and what I'm doing.
Yeah. If you're having fun doing it and it's just, it lights up that inner fire inside of you and it really puts you on a high vibration energy. And that's what attracts people to you when you're in that energy of this is fun, right? I mean, like think about podcasting for me, right? I mean, I love to podcast. It's so much fun. I love to, you know, host guests like you on my show, and I love to go be on other people's shows. It's a lot of fun. I host, you know, my Extraordinary Women Ignite conference that's coming up, and just to be live in a room full of amazing women lights me up. And so it's like those sorts of things that are just, that makes us excited to do what we get to do.
Yeah. And I encourage people to lean into that, like lean into that which brings you joy.
Right.
Instead of going, well, so-and-so told me I should do this and they've made a bajillion dollars doing this. And so I'm going to do that. Yeah. Well, if you hate doing that, you're not going to make a bajillion dollars doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. You get me to write a funnel and I'm like, oh my God.
Oh my goodness. That even puts me on a whole nother story because I am so mad at the industry because I'm like, all a marketing funnel is taking someone from like stranger to client or customer, or even sometimes a lead. Mm-hmm. And it does not even have to require a sequence of emails.
Yeah. Oh, hallelujah. Right.
Right. But that's what it has become in the world. And I'm like,
and follow this formula that sounds like everybody else. Yes. And oh my gosh. Right. No wonder it feels a little numbing.
Yeah. I'm like, do you boo. That's what I tell everybody. I'm like, what? Let's do come you, up with a plan like that's like so you, so fun, and watch the clients start coming to you because in alignment as opposed to, trying to swim upstream.
So I know that's one of the things you help people do is create marketing plans. What do you do? Share a little bit about that.
Yeah. So I get lovingly all up in people's businesses because, for me to create a marketing plan, you have to be really clear on what success looks like for you. And where you are right now, right? And so we kind of start with those two places. And then we walk through building out for you specifically, what does each phase of your marketing plan look like? And so at the highest level, I tell people marketing is just like dating. Mm-hmm. And so when you can think about, oh, okay, I'm dating some, or I'm trying to get a date, or like my partner or something along those lines, you would start by getting clear on who it is you would like in the first place. Mm-hmm. Then you'd probably, figure out where you think that person is. Are they on a specific app? Are they going to a certain bar? Are they in your friendship network? Where is this person? And then you would probably show up there looking amazing, not because more for your own confidence, but you'd show up there and you would say or do something to capture that person's attention, right? You may walk up to them, you may swipe right, you may send them a message, I don't know, but you'll do something. And then once you have their attention, you'll spark a conversation. And then the goal is to exchange digits, right?
Yep.
And then you go on your first date, and then you go on your second date, and then you go on, third, fourth, however many dates until you're dating.
It's a relationship building.
Right. And then if you like it, then you better put a ring on it and you're like in something, right? It's like the same thing with business. And I'm like, guys, if you have ever dated anyone or asked someone out on a date, you have marketed yourself and you can market yourself again for your business, right? It's like, figure out where your people are and who the heck it is you want to meet in the first place. Where can you show up best? Let's pick one place. Where are you going to show up, right? How are you going to capture their attention? What are you going to talk about? What are you going to do? What are you going to wear? Whatever it is to capture their attention. How are you going to get their contact information? What conversations are you going to have such that they go, you know what? I want to give you my email or my phone number, or I want to start messaging you in some social media platform, whatever your jam is. I have my preferences, but whatever your jam is. And then you start thinking about, okay, well, how do I take them from we started talking to, we're going on dates, we're dating, and they now have everything they need to know and believe in order to say yes to my offer or not.
Right. Put that ring on it.
Yeah. Right. And it's like, when you can keep it that simple, and that's really what I work with people on, is let's sit down and really think this out for your business. And then once we have that plan, let's test and validate it and tweak it slightly along the way. Right.
Right. So. Right. That's awesome. And I like your focus of let's focus on one place and then test and tweak. And then, you're going to end up being in multiple places and, finding a lane and really getting good in that lane before you start hitting a whole bunch of others, I think makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, absolutely. You're definitely going to have more than one traffic driver or relationship building platform, but for most people, you need to start with one and get really good at it and create enough demand for yourself that you have the time, the energy, and or the resources to focus on another one, right? Like maybe you can bring, I now know exactly how this works. I've created, you know, a system for it. It's easy. I can either do it faster or I can hire somebody else to do it. And now I can focus on this other thing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. You and I both also talk about becoming an expert in the industry. And I was telling people, you know, find that one message for the whole world. And how do you really elevate yourself at a higher level than all the noise that's around you? So how do you help people really find and position themselves as an expert? What are some of your best tips there?
Yeah. So I have an acronym for positioning yourself as an expert. The acronym is CARR, but it's like C-A-R-R. So it's like CARR, because, you know, why not? And it stands for contribute, which means contribute your knowledge and expertise into the world and the industry. And one of the great ways to do that is to create your own framework, such as CARR, because it's very meta. So it's like, this framework is part, it's teaching you and it's an example. So, you know, you contribute to the industry and the community. You can position yourself as an expert through association. So, you know, me being on your podcast, we're now, like, you know, we're associated together, right? People are going to start thinking certain things for me just by the
fact
that we're hanging out together, right?
Exactly.
And so
and I get to hang out with Nikki Nash, so that helps me. So
I love it. But it could be specific people. It could be organizations. It could be where you're speaking. It could be all sorts of things. But association is one. Research is another way to do it. You know, you could do your own studies or do your own research and share other studies and knowledge from the what's going on in the industry, whether it's trends or historical data or just facts, right? And then my favorite is results, right? Is the final R, is when you get results for yourself and others and you share that, you will be seen as an industry expert, right? And so you can contribute. There are so many things that can go into contributing, but it could be, you know, being a guest on podcasts, coming up with your own frameworks, writing a book, you know, starting a podcast, but you can contribute. You can associate yourself with other people, organizations, brands. You can do your own research or share the research of others, and you can, and you get results for yourself and or others, and you share that. And so those are the four main kind of categories that I look at when positioning yourself.
I like that a lot. And the contribute one really jumps out, because so often people are wanting to just put their own stuff out there, right? Versus get into a conversation and contribute to a conversation. And I think that's a really amazing, you know, just that all of those, they're all really good tips, but I think that one's really jumping out at me as one that you see sometimes people skipping that one. So I like it a lot. What is the biggest mistake you see entrepreneurs making?
The biggest mistake I see entrepreneurs making, I would say, is what I call rapid strategy switching.
Where
they're like, I'm doing this thing. And some people call it, you know, it's a
shiny syndrome.
It's like shiny object syndrome. But it's I'm going to do this thing. And, that didn't really work. I've tried it once, or I kind of half tried it. Now I'm going to do this other thing. Or before I finish this, somebody else said something amazing and I'm now going to do that thing. You know, that is probably one of the biggest mistakes that I see entrepreneurs make, is trying to do too much. And I saw even in tech startups where it's, instead of creating one product and rocking it, they were like, oh, but we have this idea for another product. And then we're still trying to perfect and market one product. And then we're trying to also create and market another one. And it's like, we weren't a huge team. There were maybe like 10 of us. And when you're in tech, that's a lot of these people are developers.
Well, and I think also that when you're in tech, you've got a leader, and I've been there. I've been in small tech companies, the startup tech companies, and you've got a leader who is incredibly visionary and an idea generator, right? And so I remember you know, our CEO, like coming up with an idea overnight and then coming and telling the development team, okay, you guys are going to go work on this now. And we as entrepreneurs do the same thing because we get excited about something. And I know I've been guilty of it, right? Where I've been like, oh my God, look at that. That's amazing. And, you know, head off in that direction and you still got all these balls over here in the air. And I think that's a really, good one to call out.
Yeah.
That's good. So you just launched a new book. Congratulations.
Thank you.
It's called Market Your Genius. And so tell us a little bit about what your book's about. And I want to get a copy of it. So I'm going to be ordering it. Tell me more.
Yeah. So Market Your Genius is my step-by-step guide to essentially building and testing and validating a marketing plan. Mm-hmm. And I wrote it specifically for the entrepreneur that maybe is suffering a little bit from rapid strategy switching or too mm-hmm. many ideas or is flat out just not aligned with their marketing. Mm-hmm. And I wrote it in such a way that if you read this book or when you read this book, you're able to go, okay, here is my marketing plan by the end of it and go, okay, and here is my game plan for testing and validating this plan so that I know it works, so that I have a consistent flow of clients, so that I have, you know, a lot of social proof and people going, oh my goodness, this program or offering is amazing. And also how you retain customers so that you're not always in the cycle of looking for new clients, but you also have clients that keep coming back. And so that's the big focus of the book. I kick it off and wrote it in such a way where if somebody is just getting started, they're going to be ahead of the game if they pick it up. And if you are already in business, you're not behind the game. You're just perfectly where you are. And you're going to really, if you follow the steps, you can
fine tune.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's interesting. I think that sometimes people will say that some core marketing pieces are really basic and I'm beyond those. And what I always say is it's something that you can come back to every time and time again. Every time you are changing a new product, every time you're launching a new product, it's coming back to this foundation and there's nothing elementary about it. So I love that you're saying, okay, you know, you can take this as a new entrepreneur and you can really grow with this. But if you're further along in your game, you can grow even further. You're applying something that is going to help you really level up in a bigger way.
Absolutely. And as you grow and expand, oftentimes you're creating new offerings or right. things like that. And you honestly need to go through these steps again. So yeah, it's like,
totally.
It's one of those books that, you know, I've had people, it hasn't been out very long. And I've had people say they've basically read it twice. Like they read it because it was entertaining and funny because I tell a lot of stories. And then they had to read it again so that they can do the homework and the assignments because
that's good.
I described to someone, like, this book is kind of like if you wanted to feed your child or a pet a pill and you wrapped it in something like tasty. Mm-hmm. And so you're reading it and you're enjoying it. And then all of a sudden you're like, wait, you just tricked me with marketing homework and knowledge. And I have to go do stuff.
I love it. Totally love it. So guys, go get it. It's called Market Your Genius. Why was it the right time right now to publish it? Was there something that was calling out to you saying now's the time?
You know, it was two things. One, it was very personal. I had write a book on my list since I was probably 11. Mm-hmm. And it was like, write a book before you finish college, write a book before you turn 25, write a book before you turn 30, write a book before you turn 35. Write a book before you turn 40. And so I made it at the write a book before you turn 40. So after probably like two decades of wanting to write a book, I finally wrote the darn thing. And so that is one piece. And the other piece was I just kept seeing so many people frustrated and overwhelmed with business and marketing fundamentals.
Yeah.
I'm like, I want to keep it simple. I want to keep it fun. And I want to provide people with practical and actionable tools and homework that they can do and go, wow, like I've just transform my business. And so that was really my goal and mission with writing this book.
Well, and I love that it's doing marketing in a different way than is taught in a, you know, when we're going through college or when we're even in the corporate world, it's teaching marketing in a different way that is aligned to our soul and is aligned to, you know, how we want to be serving our clients in different ways. So I love that you're bringing a different approach to marketing than what's traditionally out there. I always say here's the five rules of marketing we need to break, right? I'm always talking about that. It's getting out of the ways that have been so entrenched into those of us who are marketers and saying, you know, we're going to throw some of those rules out the door and do things in a different way. And I see you doing that. So I love it.
Thank you.
Yeah. So where can people learn more about you and your work?
Yep. So best place to go is probably nikkinash.co/magic. Mm-hmm. And on that page, you'll be able to, you know, learn more about the book, but I also have some fun free gifts, whether it's about how to create a marketing plan or a bit more about showing up as the industry expert. And so that'll be a good place to go.
Excellent. The final question I always close with are, what three pearls of wisdom would you like to leave with our audience today?
Ooh, okay. Three pearls of wisdom. I also love that it's three because three is my lucky number. So it's going to be magic, guys. The first pearl of wisdom is keep it simple, sister. Like, keep it simple. If you can really cut out all of the things that are not bringing you joy and are not right for your business, and you just ask yourself every day, how can I do this in the simplest and most fun way possible? Your business will start thriving because I think too often we make things way more complicated than they need to be. The second pearl of wisdom is aligned with that, but it's do less better. And it's not just about like simplifying or going minimalistic. It's about going, okay, what can I do really, really well? Like, can I pare down everything to offer one thing? Mm-hmm. Can I pare down everything to focus on one target audience? Can I pare down everything to focus on one way that I'm going to generate leads for my business for right now until I get to, you know, the level that I'm trying to get to, whether it's six figures or, you know, multiple six figures, and then you can grow and scale. I think so often people look naturally at other people's businesses and go, well, they are offering so much. But the reality is when I speak to a lot of businesses and I help them, I look at what they're doing and like, why do you have 10,000 offers if you're making all of your money from one? Like, right. You know what I mean? If like 90% of your income is coming from one, why are you trying to do all these?
Keep focusing, right?
Right. So I'm like, do less and do it better. And the third thing I will say, and I really believe this, is trust yourself. Like, if anybody gives you advice or you hear advice and there is any part of you that's like, I'm not sure if that's right for me, or ooh, that doesn't feel good, listen to that. Don't just blindly listen to people. Right. I have done that. I have been there. It has not worked. Yep. So even if there's anything I say and you're like, Nikki, that doesn't feel good to me, then ignore me, right? Yeah. Like, trust yourself.
Your intuition knows, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I'm so glad, Nikki, that we have been able to get on the call here and do this interview. It's so good to know more about you and know more about your work. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you bet. I hope we get to meet sometime face to face. So that'll be fun.
Yes. Agreed.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks. I hope you liked this episode of Extraordinary Women Radio. If you did, please share this podcast with your own special tribe of women and help spread the love, the dreams, and the inspiration. Are you ready to raise up your voice, your visibility, and your business? I invite you to join the conversation in my Facebook group, Extraordinary Women Connect. This group brings together changemaker women entrepreneurs who want to elevate their business for impact. It is a place for powerful connections and collaborations. It is a place to be inspired, uplifted, and fired up for action. To learn more about my work that helps women entrepreneurs make heartfelt connections to mindful growth strategies, visit my website at cammygelner.com. Till next time, my friend. Listen to your heart, follow your dreams, and be you.